Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's Monday.
It's May 5th.
And the word of the day is Uderpils, a Norwegian word that means a beer that's being enjoyed outside. Used in the sentence, Uderpils are great, and same for Uderpils with two L's, in which you take Molly and then go outside, I guess.
Yeah, and if you don't like the beer, it's an Uderpilsner.
No, that's where it comes from.
Yeah, probably. I'm no illusions.
Stupid.
I'm Eli Bosnick.
Idiot. I'm Heath Enright. And broadcasting delayed from America's far center, we are the Skeptocrats.
Oh, this week's episode, Elon Musk spends infinity dollars for literally everyone to hate him.
America will celebrate Trump's first 100 days in office by going, oh, fuck, has it only been 100 days?
And Trump drove our Chevy to the levee, but the levee was high.
But first, so the rest of the intro music.
Joining me for headlines tonight are my fellow skeptic rats, No Illusions, and Eli Bosnick. Gentlemen, happy May 4th as we record this. May the 4th be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Jedi or not, here come the headlines.
All right. But before we talk about our stupid fucking country, we have some rare good news. Big congrats to Canada and big congrats to Australia.
Yeah.
You both elected a boring liberal instead of a Trumpy lunatic, and boring is a huge win right
boring,
now.
Boring, yeah. Boring.
Well played.
So nice to know that no one's as dumb as us yet. In our lead story tonight, it's nearly impossible, even theoretically, even like, you know, modeling it on a computer, to simultaneously be the world's richest and most pathetic person. I am almost certain that Elon Musk is the first person to wear both of those hats.
Impressive.
But the only comfort that I have taken as his sophomoric understanding of libertarianism is bulldozed through decades of liberal reforms and vital government institutions is the knowledge that his fall from grace was inevitable and that it was going to flame out with all the spectacle and horror of a Tesla Model S with its owner trapped inside. Well, it looks like we've clearly reached the early stages, and from what we've seen so far, I'm thinking we're going to need a lot of popcorn.
Okay, but if you think about it, the hardest thing for him to buy at this point is more public hatred. He's
right?
A man of ambition,
yeah.
You know?
Right. So early in April, Trump started making grunts about Musk leaving pretty soon. Right, he's insanely unpopular on both sides of the aisle. He's at odds with the Trump administration on several key economic issues. And his Department of Government Efficiency is increasingly unpopular with GOP voters and leadership. So Trump started saying early last month that Musk would be leaving his administration in the next few months. Well, by few, he apparently meant almost one, because by the end of April, Trump announced Musk's exit, saying he, quote, wants to get back home to his cars, end quote.
I don't know what to tell you, people. I said his name backwards and everything. I don't know.
Hey, maybe a quick meeting with J.D. Vance, like
oh,
3 minutes
you go.
Max.
Exactly.
Fuck yeah, like take him out of quarantine for a minute. Yeah. So what has Musk accomplished in his brief time in government, or rather his time adjacent to government in a way technically unofficial enough not to require confirmation or a background check? Well, If you'll recall, when the Doge was first announced, Musk claimed it would cut, quote, at least $2 trillion, end quote, from the federal budget.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's an enormous amount. Yeah, but by the time Trump was inaugurated, that number had curiously halved, and he was only pledging to cut $1 trillion. So what was his final tally? Well, according to his own thoroughly debunked numbers, they saved America $160 billion.
Okay.
Now, that's a fucking lie, right? But it's worth noting that the lie is only 8% of the original claim.
Well, I get it. He's using the same formula he does for Tesla's profits.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Or his playtime on Path of Exile 2.
Oh, right. And Big Balls is the kid he hired to grind out all the savings. This makes so much sense.
Yeah, it's all coming together.
Now, the actual number is going to be hard to pin down because, well, first of all, because Musk and Big Balls have been full of shit through the whole entire process, but also because it's hard to say what the actual cost of cutting some of these jobs and programs is going to be. Especially when you factor in all the legal costs of defending those cuts in court, which is kind of a double whammy when you're the fucking government and you're also paying for the courts themselves. In fact, several nonpartisan assessments seem to suggest that Doge ultimately cost the federal government a significant amount of money.
Yay, cut a revenue service. That's what happens.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Their reckless bullshit actually added to the federal tax burden while reducing from the fucking federal tax receipts. And that's backed up by the fact that the government did spend more money in Q1 2025 than it did in Q1 2024 by a fucking lot.
Yeah, turns out we actually keep track of those numbers.
Yep.
It's not super easy to, you know, fudge the most watched economy in world history. Yeah.
I like that Doge finally did a government efficiency once. Like, after failing for a while, they realized the most efficient thing they could do is chop their own head off. So
congrats, there you go. Right. They saved us $160 billion by not operating for the remainder of the year.
Yeah.
So
good work.
And of course, as even Musk agrees, none of these cuts can even make a theoretical difference if they're not codified by Congress. Right. The whole strategy of just withholding money that Congress already appropriated is sketchy as hell. And even its proponents admit it can't last forever. But based on the initial reactions to Trump's budget proposal, there's no chance in hell of any of that happening. When the White House floated the idea of sending a tiny fraction of the cuts, $9.3 billion worth, to Congress for approval, Republicans balked. That is $9.3 billion, less than 6% of what Musk is claiming he saved and less than 0.5% of the original promise.
Yeah, no support from lots of Republicans in Congress. So turns out there was a secret component to the red state economy. It's gumption, moxie, and the government teat, it turns out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All that money they siphon out of the blue states. Yeah.
But also known as society. We're supposed to.
Well, that. Yeah, right. But one place where his cuts do look like they're going to stick is in his personal fortune. His net worth is heavily determined by Tesla's share price, of course, which has tumbled by almost a third since Trump's inauguration. And by the way, that third is even after I factor in the significant recovery that happened after all this shit was announced about him leaving government. It's even being reported that Tesla had started the process of ousting him before this news broke. So while his $160 billion in federal spending cuts don't exist, and while his much smaller cuts won't last, the $113 billion or so of his personal fortune that he cut, that stands a pretty good chance of sticking around.
Yeah, he did it.
Let that sink in, like your share price this year. Now, as regular listeners know, we here at the Skeptocrat are privy to exclusive footage of the White House. Thanks to that microphone, we dressed like a duck, dressed as a sailor. And we actually managed to capture a bit of the behind the scenes over the last couple months. Let's roll that tape.
You wanted to see me, Mr. President?
Tyler, come on in here, buddy. How you doing, big guy?
Well, pretty bad, sir. Did you know that we're kidnapping U.S. citizens and sending them to torture gulags?
Oh, yeah, that's like my thing now.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, look, I've got Elon coming in.
Sir.
And I know you don't like him, but you need to help him with his Doge thing.
It's Doge, sir.
What's that?
It's a meme. It doesn't matter. So he's kind of an insufferable idiot, and even your staunchest defenders hate him, so...
Exactly, which is why I need you to rein him in a little bit. Anyways, look, I'm going to go out the side door because I can hear him coming. You do your thing.
Greetings, Earthlings. take me to your leader.
Hi, Elon.
Like a spaceman would say.
No, yeah, no, I get it. So, I'm sorry, who's this?
This is Big Balls. He's kind of the best.
What up? Bump it.
Not gonna fist bump you.
Too slow. Anyway, you guys listen to AJR?
You're sweating so much.
This is the fucking best, dude. Me and the squad got box fucking seats last year. It was Unchained.
Right.
Unchained.
Oh, yeah, okay, so here's the thing. The media has been covering a lot of your cuts very closely, and it seems like you guys aren't actually saving the country any money. In fact, you seem to be costing us money.
Right, but E-Money, what do we always tell him?
That's me. He calls me E-Money.
I call him E-Money. What do we always tell him?
We are pulling lubes and checking boobs out here.
Fuck yeah, we are.
What is your first language?
Slavery.
Okay, you know what? Why don't you guys put together a report of all the cuts you're planning to make and the savings that would entail?
What up, what up?
Ew, yuck, a girl.
Yikes. Is that a Nosferatu? Can I kill it? I want to kill it.
No.
People say that a lot about me.
Sarah, this is Elon Musk and Big Balls.
A pleasure, m'lady.
Careful, stud. Haven't washed that one in a while, and yes, that is the one I wipe with.
I thought I tasted cardamom. So, what do you think? You want to get out of here?
Use condoms?
Nah, they don't fit around the genital warts.
All I need is to hear, cowboy. Let's go.
What was that?
I don't know, man. It's gotten weird around here.
So, do you play Command and Conquer?
No.
I'm a grandmaster at it.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not.
And with that reminder that we're less than 2 years removed from the release of the Cybertruck, and already that isn't Elon's most embarrassing failure, we're going to take a quick break for a word from this week's sponsor, Ground News. I mean, unless he wins us a Super Bowl, they traded too much to get him.
You think so?
Would you make that trade for any receiver in the league right now?
Hey, guys, what you talking about?
Oh, just the trade the Jags made to move up for Travis Hunter.
Crazy.
Yeah, especially since it turns out that he's like half dragon, right?
I'm sorry, what?
Where did you read that?
Oh, the dragonsamongus.org. I get a lot of my news there.
All right, Eli, you know, it might be time to upgrade to a more reputable source.
I would love to, Noah, but the dragonsamongus.org is free, and a bunch of those fancy mainstream news sources are stuck behind paywalls and subscriptions.
But, Eli, if you want reputable news that's not stuck behind a paywall, why don't you try Ground News?
What's Ground News?
Ground News is an app and website that gathers news articles from across the world in one place and shows context about the publication's political leaning, reliability, and ownership, all backed by ratings from three independent news monitoring organizations, so you can think critically about the news you consume.
And they can help me find true stuff for free?
They sure can. You can filter news sources by factuality and even choose to hide articles that are trapped behind a paywall.
Okay, but what about all that context stuff Heath was just talking about? Usually when someone says that, it's because they want to challenge my extremely already correct beliefs.
Right. Well, Ground News gathers sources from across the political spectrum and shows you where blind spots might be. For instance, take this story about voters deciding if the Texas home of Elon Musk's SpaceX should become an official city called Starbase. Ground News shows me that the right says it's about Elon Musk's dreams coming true, while the left expresses their concern about Elon Musk owning a city.
So I can get both sides of a story without sacrificing my principles?
Exactly.
All right, guys, I'm sold. Where do I sign up?
Go to groundnews.com/skeptocrat today to get 40% off the Ground News Vantage Plan and get access to all their news analysis features. That's groundnews.com/skeptocrat to get 40% off the Ground News Vantage Plan for a limited time only. That's groundnews.com/skeptocrat.
All right, guys, thanks. So long, dragonsamongus.org.
Hey, why are they a .org?
Oh, they're also a church.
Yeah, that tracks. Mm-hmm.
And we're back. Next up in headlines in HHS spelled backwards spells shh news. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services released a 400-page review on transgender youth healthcare this week, focusing on gender dysphoria treatment in children and reversing both previous administration policies and expert medical recommendations on the use of medical intervention. And if you're wondering what frontier-conquering scientists wrote this report and what evidence they based it on, well, they can't tell you. It's a secret.
Uh-huh.
You know, secret like science. All the good science. It's done by anonymous bigots.
Cool.
Yeah. No, they found the exact conclusion they were executively ordered to find. Again, like all the good science.
Yes, exactly. In a news release about the report, the HHS said, quote, contributors to the review included medical doctors, medical ethicists, and a methodologist. Contributors represent a wide range of political viewpoints and were chosen for their commitment to scientific principles, end quote. It added that the contributors' names are not being made public, quote, in order to help maintain the integrity of the process, end quote.
What?
The release also claims that the report underwent peer review, but doesn't say by whom.
Secret.
And again,
peer review.
Because it's anonymous, we don't know who the peers of the report authors actually are or could be.
Okay, people who don't want to say, I'm the peer of RFK Jr. Pretty much anyone.
Yeah, yeah. Like, hey, look, if the news gets to use anonymous sources, so do we, damn it.
Right, so maybe we can narrow this down based on who they didn't speak to. The American Medical Association, the American Psychiatric Association, the Endocrine Society, American Psychological Association, American Academy of Pediatrics, and the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry have all affirmed the practice of gender-affirming medical care and agree that it's clinically appropriate evidence-based care that can provide life-saving treatment for children and adults. So, they didn't talk to any of them.
Right.
In fact, according to Sandy Cressley, the president of the American Academy of Pediatrics, quote, this report misrepresents the current medical consensus and fails to reflect the realities of pediatric care. She added that the AAP was not consulted, quote, yet our policy and the intentions behind our recommendations were cited throughout in inaccurate and misleading ways, end quote.
Oh, hey, it has been peer reviewed.
Okay, this is like every economist who got cited by Trump about their stupid
yes.
fucking tariff plan. So it's like, hey, bud, did you ask Grok AI how to deal with kids these days to determine that? And then be like, same question, more bigot, please. Is right, that where yeah. you landed?
Mm-hmm. So that rules out all the actual doctors. And while we don't know the authors, it's worth mentioning that the report does cite the now infamous CAS report. If you're not familiar, you know how friend of the show Michael Marshall does a bunch of research and then presents it to the UK government so they stop like funding chiropractic nonsense through the NHS? Well, Hilary Cass, a retired pediatrician, basically does the opposite of that. She produced a report so dishonest and riddled with misinformation that even when the New York Times was legitimizing it in its opinion section, they essentially said, hey, this is probably going to turn out to be a bunch of lies, but don't yell at us. We're not the news section.
Well, so now I think Marsh has to fight Hillary Cass in the shadow dimension to determine the ultimate fate of trans youth. And she's 67. I feel like he's got a solid chance at this.
Exactly. And what's he going to do? Lose QED? Exactly. All win, no reward. So you're probably wondering, all right, Eli, with excellent sources like the CAS report, what does this groundbreaking report recommend instead of medical intervention? I'm so glad you asked. It's conversion therapy. You know, the therapy that tortures kids until they pretend to be straight, the one with such a high suicide rate that it's illegal in about half the states. The report claims that the medical groups have relied on medical treatment for transgender youth, partly because of a, quote, mischaracterization of such approaches as conversion therapy and actual quote.
I think I see the issue. They're mischaracterizing the word mischaracterize, and that yeah. sounds like meta stupid. It's easy to get confused.
Sure. But I honestly, hey, calling it conversion therapy instead of child torture is mischaracterizing it.
Exactly.
So accidentally,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. So this is obviously evil, and it's exactly the bullshit we expected from this administration. But I point this out because it's going to give bigots a veil of legitimacy to hide behind. Not that evidence ever mattered to them in the first place, but now they get to pretend they have some, thanks to the Department of Health and Human Services. So, you know, if your bigot uncle shows up on Facebook waving this report around, just, you know, Ask him to name a few of the more prominent authors of it, and he's sure to shut the fuck right up.
Yeah, oh, as he always does when he's proven wrong, yeah. And it's also worth having this in your pocket for all those idiotic lefties who thought that RFK Jr. had some kind of, you know, misguided integrity or whatever. It took him 0 seconds to endorse torturous amounts of bigotry against children.
And in Paul of Duty news, how much could a banana possibly cost? $10? That's a real possibility now, because our economy is being run by Lucille Bluth, but somehow more racist. Donald Trump is continuing to plow forward with the plan of an absurd blanket tariff regime for just about every imported product in the entire world. And he's claiming it's all part of a genius negotiation strategy that's going to get us better deals and reduce our trade deficits. How's that going? Well, we set a new record for trade deficits with a giant surge of buying foreign everything to get ahead of the tariffs. Not a great way to start. And now the administration is trying to make approximately 90 different individual bilateral trade deals, one for each of 90 different countries, because Trump thinks a good economy is determined by having a tie score or a winning score on like 90 different individual scoreboards. And selling a thing you want to sell is one point, and buying a thing you want to buy is losing a point. That's the scoring system.
Yep.
It's like me going to Kroger and buying 20 delightful cheeses that I wanted to buy, and then mid-cheese smile, getting mad and demanding they buy 20 podcasts. And like, if they won't do it, I'm going to make myself pay double for the cheese next time for spite. But then, I don't know, like a cheesemaker is going to pop up inside my apartment next week who charges less. That's our economic plan right now.
Yeah. You guys remember when they said they were going to have 90 deals in 90 days? And then the actual number was zero, and we were all like, yo, motherfuckers couldn't lock down a deal with Slovenia in 3 months' time? Really?
Right. Well, look, this is what happens when you let bad business people run the country. And look, I know what you're thinking. Eli, Donald Trump's a billionaire. But first of all, that's only true if you don't count debt to Russian oligarchs, because if you do, he's significantly poorer than I am. But he's definitely what the guys who used to try to haggle pricing at the toy store we worked at think a good businessman is.
Yes.
And he's doing it with the exact same amount of success, let me tell you.
Yeah, so we all know Trump is an imbecile who got the word tariff in his head in 1982, and that's his economic philosophy ever since. But Trump actually has a seemingly intelligent person as the Secretary of Commerce. That would be Howard Lutnick. Quick background on Lutnick. He's a billionaire bond trader who became the CEO of the investment firm Cantor Fitzgerald after an ugly legal battle with the company founder and Lutnick's mentor, Bernard Cantor. That battle happened while Cantor was dying of kidney failure in the mid-90s, and Lutnick was such a piece of shit that Cantor's wife, Iris, banned Lutnick from Bernard's funeral. Lutnick is easily the worst thing that ever happened to Cantor Fitzgerald. I think we can all agree. Now, yes, the company was located on floors 101 to 105 of the North Tower of the World Trade Center. And yes, 658 employees died on 9/11. That was bad. That was bad. But then on September 15th, Lutnick removed those 658 people from the payroll. Now, all right, he eventually...
Jesus Christ.
That actually happened. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
He eventually set up a fund for the families, blah, blah, blah. But most importantly, Lutnick supported Donald Trump.
Yeah, he did.
Lutnick actually supported Hillary Clinton in 2016, which makes it even worse for me. That means Lutnick's brain is capable of not being stupid and evil, and now he's actively choosing the opposite.
Well, that's the part that's really blowing me away about where we are now, right? Because like, even in terms of just naked self-interest, you'd think Trump would have a harder time finding people willing to wreck the economy they rely on and empower history's least loyal tyrant.
Right. Especially when you already have more money than you could or would ever spend in a lifetime. Like, what are you cashing in your soul for? A second spaceship?
Yeah.
So here's my theory on Lutnick's current role. He's a fan of tariffs, but not the insane version from Trump. So at some point in early April, Lutnick was like, hey, Donald, I'm pretty sure you just did a giant unfocused tariff plan using
ChatGPT Basic to figure out the... You didn't even spend the $20 for like the ad-free better one.
I don't need 4.0.
Yeah, just upgrade next time. I'll give you the $20. And you destroyed the world economy, man. So here's the plan, Donald. You call time out for 90 days on a whole bunch of that. And then all the big companies have to send delegations of blowjob emissaries to the White House to beg for exemptions. Every small business in the country is just like, fucked, whatevs. But the big ones are in the ditch that you created. And now you can pull them out and say, you're welcome. And I feel like Donald loved that plan. So that's what we're doing now. And the best received blowjob emissaries just happen to be from companies in key swing states like Michigan. So Trump granted tariff exemptions for U.S. automakers last week. To go along with that, Lutnick announced that he definitely made a sweet new deal with one of those 90 countries, but he can't tell us about it because she's from Canada or India. It's a secret deal.
Right, yeah. Uh-huh.
And when news about that stuff helped the markets climb a little bit, to be clear, still inside the giant hole that Trump created, Trump declared a win.
Yeah. No, and then he celebrated that win on the same day that we learned the economy shrank in the first quarter by like 0.3% and was projected to grow by like 2.5% before Trump started fucking with all the levers.
Yeah, he's like an unaware version of what I do on our podcast.
Yep.
So what I do on our podcast.
You remember when the Illuminati created COVID and then created a vaccine in order to continue controlling the world badly? It's like that, except real. But not every company gets a dose of the vaccine. Automakers got one, but Trump had a different plan for other parts of the retail sector. Yes, shelves are about to be empty all over the place, but that's part of the pain we need to endure as a country. In particular, the pain needs to fall on children. All the greedy little kids with their sticky little fucking hands and their wantonly decadent doll collection.
Yep, that's the problem.
That's the theory from Trump. Exact words from Trump last week. Quote, maybe the children will have two dolls instead of 30 dolls. And maybe the two dolls will cost a couple bucks more than they would normally.
Yeah, well, and it can't be emphasized enough that Trump is the one who brought kids and their toys into his conversation about the economy being in a rebuilding year to begin with, right? That they said supply shortages, and he inserted the image of a crying child.
Right away.
Immortan Joe's watching the speech like, come on, man, you could do better than that.
Do not become addicted to dolls, or you will be set at their absence.
Yikes, am I right, little person I keep in a cage in my room?
All right, so I want to be as fair as possible. No, actually, no, I don't, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah, it's kind of our job. Honesty, yeah, right.
Well, okay, first of all, I agree about the toys. Kids these days had it coming. Have less plastic crap. Stick and hoop, ball of twine, rub some dirt in it, you're fucking fine. It's about time we took the kids down a peg.
Yeah.
But also, and this part's real, tariffs can be useful, but only when they're phased in slowly, so companies can actually adjust in the way you're hoping. And the tariffs have to be targeted. And islands of penguins, dumb target. Mm-hmm, but certain imports from China, yeah, that's good. Or instead of a giant regressive tax on the average American with no warning, we could have incentives for companies to produce important things here in the U.S., like the CHIPS Act.
There you go.
But now we're doing none of that. Trump's withholding a bunch of the CHIPS Act money. Instead, Trump claims he's putting pressure on China to force a better trade deal. Just to be clear, the lame duck president who already caved on big tariff moves multiple times in 100 days thinks he's going to win at chicken with a country that has a president for life and a command economy.
Yes, right. He's playing chicken with a parked fucking car.
Actually, what's happening? And here's the official statement from China. I'm going to translate it as best I can. I think this is China's trade rep. Dude, you just cratered the American economy by punching yourself in the dick. And now you're going to keep punching yourself in the dick every 10 minutes until we cave? Because you took your own dick as a hostage? Cool. Game on. Let's play chicken. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. By which I mean I know exactly how it's going to go. Mm-hmm. The tariffs continue failing. We have a recession. We're already halfway there. Trump has to cut our losses and cave again. And then he makes up a lie to claim a victory while taking a question from Marjorie Taylor Greene's boyfriend at the White House.
Yeah. And then your Uncle Frank blames the Mexicans and votes for him again in 2028.
Yep.
Cool.
And in reverse Bukkake news tonight. So I'm kind of cheating here because my first story was about Elon Musk leaving government, and so is my second. But this story is about the moment when he left, which was originally part of my first story. And then I'm like, nope, this it would just be too long. It's so fucking nuts. It needed its own headline because Musk's forced retirement, or whatever they're calling his shit canning, came during a cabinet meeting that Trump convened because he wanted to celebrate his first 100 days in office by getting his shoes into asshole licked clean.
Yeah, this was the culmination of a big celebration called 100 days week. Mm-hmm. Seriously, they called it that. Deputy Press Secretary Anna Kelly zeted happy 100 days week, America, flag emoji. They yep. were actually flag calling emoji, it yeah. a week of 100 days.
Yes, so dumb. Now, to be clear, Trump's first 100 days in office with nary a guardrail to be found have been an unmitigated disaster of historic proportions. I don't need to tell you that, but it's hard to overstate how apocalyptically bad every one of his major initiatives has been. And not just from a human rights perspective. I mean that, like, even if you're on the side of fascism and nativism and rounding up all the brown people and sending them to Salvadoran gulags, he's doing a really bad job of that.
He's bad at that.
Yeah, which is why he's bested his own record low for approval ratings after 100 days for a president and every imaginable record for worst economic downturn in the first 100 days. But he didn't want to hear about any of that shit, so instead, he gathered his cabinet together to tell him all about how a good size his penis was. Yeah.
And just a quick reminder about how Trump can't even use torture gulags correctly. He got fooled by his own Photoshop last
week. That was delicious.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. Somebody in the White House propaganda department took a photo of Kilmar Abrego Garcia's hand and added MS-13 in very clear computer font above the tattoos on Garcia's fingers. Not like a deep fake, just adding a clear label to make their dumb point. The tattoos are a marijuana leaf, a smiley face, a cross, and a skull. That's the actual tattoos on the hand. And the stupid conspiracy theory is those tattoos stand for MS-13. Trump posed with this photo in the Oval Office and posted it on social media after they made it. And then during an interview with Terry Moran on ABC, Trump made it very clear that he genuinely believes it was a real photo of a gang member who got tattoos to announce his gang membership and also tattoos above that in fucking Comic Sans that explain the answer key to the secret code about the gang membership. Moran explained, you're a fucking idiot. And then Trump doubled and tripled down about that during
the
interview.
You're fired from being in this interview.
Yeah, well, he tried. Yeah, he tried.
Just impossibly stupid.
That brings up an important point, Heath, because when that first happened, I put out a tweet or something, or I was not on Twitter. I just call them all tweets now. I put out a tweet that basically said, you know, hey, we're lucky he didn't just use his Sharpie for that. And a bunch of people jumped in and they tried to give me shit. And they tried to say, no, man, those are just, he's just trying to decode them. It's fake decoding of them or whatever. He's not trying to pass those off as real. Yes, the fuck he was. He was trying to pass those off as real tattoos because he thought they were. Never correct me when my sentence starts with Donald Trump is so stupid that. I have never been wrong with one of those, okay?
Yeah, the fake MS-13, it doesn't even line up with the angle of the fingers.
The
it's
hand,
all vertical
yeah.
because it's clearly added
yes.
with Photoshop just to make a dumb point.
Oh, but so we wouldn't have to listen to any of that kind of shit. He had this fucking meeting, and it started with Attorney General and supervillain whose power would be fingernail-based Pam Bondi, who effused, quote, President, your first 100 days has far exceeded that of any other presidency in this country ever. Adding, quote, ever.
Wait, ever?
Quote.
Oh, no. Okay, got it.
I mean, she didn't say how it's exceeded that of other presidents.
Well, that's
so
true.
She's not wrong yet.
Well, yeah, she's going to get there, though. She went on to claim that in just his first 100 days, his efforts to stop fentanyl smuggling at the border have saved, I swear this is the number, I triple-checked this, even though my initial source was the Washington fucking Post, 258 million American lives.
Nope.
Huh.
To be clear, that is 76% of the American population. Look to your left. Look to your right. Both of those people would have died in the last 100 days if it hadn't been for Trump's border policy. And 50-50 that you would have, too.
Okay. That went from, like, riddle speak to 100 billion people a second die of fentanyl real quick.
Yeah. That's Pamela Joe doing math. But like after 100 days with Trump, most Americans were going to take up fentanyl. You're welcome. Okay, like yeah. There's something to that maybe.
Okay, yeah. And of course, we got Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick. He tried his hand at Trump's balls by praising his moronic idea of selling a citizenship gold cards for $5 million apiece, lying, quote, "I was out to dinner and someone came up and said, can I buy 10, end quote. To be clear, on that same fucking day, a House committee axed the idea for being too stupid to exist in the world.
Well, that wouldn't matter because that guy already bought all of them.
Listen, and don't worry, Russian oligarchs who want to move in. If you buy $5 million of the $Trump meme coin, yeah. I'm pretty sure you're good to go. Just call in the next 10 minutes. You get the leatherette passport holster, too. Very exciting. Also, in case anybody missed it, there's a list of all the other amazing accomplishments from the first 100 days. It's on whitehouse.gov, and it's called ICYMI, in case you missed it, Celebrating President Trump's Incredible First 100 Days. And it's just a big list of tweets from 200 GOP lackeys in Congress fucking at blowing him.
Yeah, right. Now, despite not being a member of the cabinet, wink, not touching, can't get confirmed, Elon was there as well. For his part, he spent the whole time playing with his hats, apparently. He had both a Doge
so
hat
stupid.
And a hat that said Gulf of America, and he kept switching them out. And then in a desperate effort to be zany, the adjective one should least aspire to, let alone aspire to and fail, at one point he put on one hat over the other, and he made a joke about his hat having a hat and him wearing a lot of hats, and then Trump fired him and everybody clapped. I know I phrased that in a way that like kind of manipulates the narrative, but those are the series of things that happen.
Seriously, Elon was trying to make a joke, I say in quotes, about how he wears many hats. And he did that during his forced retirement ceremony about taking away his fucking
yes,
hats.
Yes. Yeah.
Look, podcast listener, I know it's bad out there, and I know the bad guys are winning, but take a moment to Google this photo of Elon with two hats on his fucking head at a table of people who fucking hate him.
A table of people.
Consider just how lucky you are that you'll never be that detested.
Right.
Silver linings, people.
Yeah, exactly. Positive. Thank you, Eli. But that's not all. You might have seen some photos of the meeting, but here at the Skeptocrat, we managed to get the inside scoop with our hidden microphone. Let's roll that tape.
All right, everyone. Welcome to our celebration of the first 100 days of my presidency, or what I'm calling the 100-day week.
That's not how many days a week has.
We know, Mr. Musk, the president was joking.
Oh. Keep talking.
Mr. Musk, what did we say about saying that?
Don't keep talking.
It's fine. Now, obviously, one of the things that we want to emphasize is that we're here to be tough on crime and tough on gangs. Roger Gillian lost his family to one of these terrible, terrible gangs south of the border. Roger, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the American press, when members of MS-13 killed my wife...
My wife!
I was told we would never see justice.
Like Borat.
No, we get it, Mr. Musk.
It's this presidential administration.
Tyler, give me your hat.
That managed to crack down.
You're wearing a hat.
Give me your
no,
hat.
No, no.
And make sure that nothing ever happens to another family.
Give it like to me.
Oh my God, get off of me.
I'm on a lot of steroids.
You know what? I think I'm done.
Everyone look. I am wearing many hats.
Hey, can I fucking kill this guy?
I'll give you everything I have.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sweet.
And in shameless plug for ourselves news. As you probably know by now, It's Matreon, that magical time of year when we come to you, podcast listener, and beg you for money extra, extra hard with all the pretty pleases and puppy eyes you deserve. And you might also know that this year's Matreon has never been more important because this year we thought we were going to have to theme the month over someone else's stupid fucking policy change. Mm-hmm. But thanks to a federal judge's ruling, we just get to beg you regular.
Yeah, well, the economy's on fire and people are doing cage fights for a dozen eggs at this point. So it might be a little more desperate than usual, but there won't be any changes to our billing cycles.
Yes, cool. Yes, exactly. So the major reason for the change was that right now, when you pay for an app service or subscription through the App Store, Apple charges about a 27% commission that does not go to that app or vendor. And starting next year, they had threatened to ban all the apps that didn't process payments through their system. So while apps had been able to avoid that commission by charging on their websites or, you know, charging another place, the option was about to go away. And if that sounds super fucking illegal to you, you're correct. Because as I said this week, a federal judge ruled that it is super fucking illegal and a blatant violation of antitrust laws. And Patreon announced shortly afterwards that the mandatory change to monthly billing for all legacy creators was on hold.
Yeah. To be clear, Apple, the richest company in the goddamn world, like the fifth richest in the history of the world, decided that they also wanted 27% of our incomes.
If Apple wants to exploit our labor, hire us to put all those little screws in the iPhones like Howard Lutnick explained. or have us fix the air conditioning for the army of robots. Like something.
Yeah.
Think different.
So yeah, I know it's not the biggest news, but it is good news, which is all too rare these days. And hey, in case I didn't mention it yet, and I think I didn't, please give us your money and check out all the fun stuff you can make happen over at Matreon.com.
M-A-Y-T-R-E-O-N.
Matreon.com.
And in DUI hire news, Pete Hegseth is not okay. And that's not coming from me. I mean, I am saying that, but that's coming from Colin Carroll, a top Pentagon official and close ally of Hegseth, at least until Carroll got fired last week. So Carol did an interview with Megyn Kelly, and she asked, "Do you think Pete's okay?" And Carol said, "I honestly, I don't know. I'm not sure."
Actual quote. That's
the actual
quote.
Yeah. And they spent the rest of the interview describing how Hegseth is definitely not okay. Apparently, Hegseth is convinced that his top people are narking to the press about all the insane chaos that happens when, you know, a Fox and Friends weekend host gets put in charge of a $900 billion department that employs 3.4 million people. So now the Department of Defense is dealing with a paranoid lunatic boss running a new witch hunt every day instead of doing his real job very badly. I guess that's the alternative. It might be good. I don't know.
Yeah. This Monday, he told us a magician taught him how to read minds at a party. So he's just been in his office with his fingers on his temples. It's a good week. What we're saying is it's a good week.
Right. It's pretty terrifying where the best possible option is that nobody is in charge of the most lethal army in the history of the world.
Terrifying. So here's a little background in case anyone missed it. Hegseth was one of several government officials who shared classified military information on a Signal group chat that somehow included Jeffrey Goldberg, the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic. Actually, hold on. Let me circle back a bit. Hegseth is an idiot. He's got a long history of alcohol abuse and human being abuse. Mm-hmm. Perfect for a job at Fox News fucking weekend, but not so much for running the entire Department of Defense.
No,
nonetheless, he gets confirmed by the Senate, barely, with J.D. Vance casting the tiebreaker vote. Then the Goldberg debacle. And then we learned that Hegseth shared more classified information in a different group chat on Signal. That group chat included his wife, his brother, and his personal lawyer. Just, you know, shooting the shit about missile attacks that are happening right now on Signal. Hegseth got asked about that by a reporter at the White House Easter egg roll. And that's when Hegseth had a full-on meltdown and started yelling about hoaxes straight into the camera. He yelled nothing about denying the group chats or any of his stupidity. And as that's all happening, the White House band is playing a jaunty holiday tune.
So
which is
fucking
funny. And Hegseth's two sons are standing right next to him, just visibly hating their piece of shit dad.
Podcast listeners, Heath has included these photos in our notes. I have walked out on stage in a mini thong to more admiring and less disgusted looks than are in these photos.
Okay, well, so the kid on the left is disgusted, right? He's disgusted by his genetic destiny. But the one on the right is clearly thinking about how much extra screen time he can get by threatening to tell the reporter his dad shouted war plans at a Little League umpire to give his I'll shoot you with a missile threat plausibility, right? Like, that's the look he's got.
We're rooting for you, bud. So, following the story about the second group chat full of classified military information on a publicly available app, we learned that Trump is thinking about a replacement for Pete. And if Donald Trump thinks you're too incompetent for your position of power, not a good sign.
Nope.
But then Trump tried to do a little damage control by saying he gave Hegseth a stern talking to, adding, quote, I think he's going to get it together.
Look, he's a good kid. He just needs a leg up to the top of our defense department. That's what he needs.
So did Pete get it together? Well, depends what you mean by that. His chief of staff, Joe Casper, just fired three top Pentagon officials. Joe Casper is the former chief of staff. He resigned a few days after firing those people. And that's because Hegseth demanded the witch hunt to catch the people that were leaking information. And I'm just going to say that again. Peter Hegseth got mad about informational security and demanded consequences.
And his solution seems to be to fire all the people with information. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
And according to Colin Carroll, the fired official I mentioned earlier, the typical workday for Pete these days is approximately 50% paranoid witch hunt stuff. That includes a series of polygraph tests being given to people all throughout the Pentagon.
Okay, I swear I wrote that joke about the magician before I read that sentence in his headline.
Yeah.
And he's doing something way dumber.
Right, yeah, no, to be clear, a lie detector test is a dousing rod for truthiness.
Yeah.
Right. Also worth noting, Joe Casper is also terrible. Multiple sources at the DOD said he was extremely obnoxious and terrible at the job. And he talked about shitting way too much. We also learned that. Like, okay, personally, I cannot imagine what it would be like to have a coworker talking about the details of their bowel movements during work. But according to a Pentagon official at a recent meeting, Joe Casper walked in and immediately said, can I just tell everyone around this table that I just took an enormous shit right before coming in here? Casper later claimed the whole thing was taken out of context. And I mean, like, not clear what additional context could improve that into a useful comment during a Pentagon meeting. But that's what he said.
Yeah, unless the context was the terrorists have developed a weapon that can control the mind of anyone with a full colon, I don't think the context is going to do much.
Well, okay, Eli, you have taken shits that could be classified as a national emergency. I can get there,
sure,
like, with my imagination.
Yeah, so there might be some weird good news at the end of this, maybe. It's all bad news so far, obviously, because we have idiots running the military. But if we get slightly more competent people taking over at the Pentagon as a result of this, I guess that's something. And the bar right now is Pete Hegseth and the guy who announces the size of his recent shits in the war room. And that second thing is by far the best thing I've heard all year about Pentagon leadership.
Yeah.
Well, and that's not all, Heath, because thanks to the microphone we wrote Jack Daniels along the side of, we also have one last insider clip to play for our audience tonight. Let's roll that audio. China. No, China, like change.
Change.
You don't say change.
I could say change. You don't know.
Yeah, no, I guess you could say change.
Hey, what up, Mr. President? Tyler, what's going on? You guys want to see me?
Yeah, Pete, why don't you come on in?
Absolutely. By the way, someone threw up in your hallway. I think it was probably me.
Yeah, we'll get someone to clean it up. Look, Pete, we're worried about all these leaks.
Oh, man, did I piss myself again? Did I do that? Did I piss myself?
No, Pete, to the press, the signal thing.
Oh, my God. Listen to what happened. I added Jeffrey Epstein. I added Jeffrey Epstein to the group chat because I thought it would be fucking funny, right? And he fucking screenshotted it and told everyone. He's his newspaper. That's like if your doctor did that.
No, it's literally legal. The opposite.
Not how that works, Pete.
Oh, look at this. Look at this. I texted the asshole of Ram. Remember. Do you think they got that there in Iran?
A reference to a Budweiser commercial? No, I don't think the Ayatollah got that.
Oh, he didn't respond anyway.
Right. So Pete, the thing is, we need you to stop creating threads about national security, like, at all.
Wait. Like none?
None, buddy. None.
Okay, but like, what if I got like a sick video, something crazy, like a black guy on a skateboard or something?
Then just come into the office and show us, man.
Yeah, I want to see that.
All right. Cool. I will. Oh, hey, one other thing.
Yeah, Pete.
Don't use the handicap bathroom on this floor. Sarah's rotting a dude named Big Balls in there. It's not pretty.
Got it. Thanks, big guy.
Hey, settle a bet for us. Are his balls actually big?
No, it's pretty small, actually.
I knew it! $5.
Hey, you'll have to sue me for it.
Yeah, I know.
And on that note, we're going to close it out. Thanks to No Illusions, thanks to Eli Bosnick, and thanks to all the listeners who liked us and followed us on all the various internets. Please keep doing that. Please keep listening, and please keep telling your friends. And if you find the naive stupidity of our giving away a free show business bottle to be oddly charming, you can send us gifts of money at patreon.com/skeptocrat. Just like Gregory F. Ladle, Adam Burris, Logan Fam, Lesimir, Swanica, Daniel, Al Senor Tenebroso, Lily Desiree Thomas, and the Office of Arbitrary and Capricious PC. There is no legal, there is only Zool. These wonderful, generous people get first dibs on the sweet corner lots in our zombie apocalypse gated community. And whether or not you're feeling financially benevolent like those fine people, if you enjoyed our brand of whimsy and you'd like to hear more dick jokes free of charge, check out our brother and sister shows, The Scathing Atheist, God Awful Movies, D&D-, and Citation Needed, available in all the podcast places. We just have one last thing. Let's compliment that penist. Special thanks to Ryan Slotnick of Evil Giraffes on Mars. He's the creator of the virtuosic musical stylings you heard today, which were used with permission. You should definitely check him out using the links we'll provide or by Googling the only band called Evil Giraffes on Mars. Until next time, catchphrase sign-off.
By the way, someone threw up in your hallway. I think it was probably me. It was probably me. Oh, man. Did I piss myself again? Did I do that? Did I piss myself? Like a black guy on a skateboard or something.
Let's find someone for a train.
The preceding podcast was a production of Puzzle and the Thunderstorm, LLC, copyright 2025, all rights reserved.